Praise God. Does anyone have John chapter 5? If you have John chapter 5, let's say amen.
Amen.
John chapter 5, verse 5 says, "And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." I want to read verse number 6 one more time. "When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" Today the title of my message is called "To Be or Not to Be." That is the question. To be or not to be. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessing for this message. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just worship you. We thank you for your word. God, we rejoice that thy word is one that findeth good spoke. God, that your word has the power to change lives. And God, I pray, let your spirit be released in this place. Oh God, touch the hearers, O Lord Jesus, that they receive this word and be changed, O God. That people would be set free and be delivered and become all that you'd want them to be. We just give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I don't really have a very deep thought today. I'm going to probably be very quick than you, but I just wanted to share what was on my heart. Yesterday, as we were at the the service, they had the children's service before they had the main adult service. And they had this guy who was dressed up as a clown. And he went around the audience, specifically with the kids that were there. And he had some sort of microphone device. And he'd go up there and he would ask them questions. And you see this all the time when you watch any type of kids show. Like, you know, when I was growing up, it was Bozo. If anyone's old enough to remember Bozo, okay, praise God. But you know, those are, you get a kid out of the audience, you know, they'd have to throw the little ping pong ball in the little bucket, if you guys remember that, little prize. He'd always ask them some questions, you know? And there's three basic questions that any adult asks a child whenever they first meet them, just to try and stir a conversation. Number one is, well, what's your name? Number two is, how old are you? And number three is, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Those are three basic questions that any adult asks a child. Bozo asked them, and the clown yesterday, he asked those questions. What's your name? How old are you? And what do you want to be when you grow up? When you really think about that, those are the three very deep questions. The first question asks about your identity. What's your name? The second asks about your maturity. How old are you? The third asks about your desired destiny. What do you want to be when you grow up? And those are three questions I'm going to try and deal with in this particular message. And there are three questions that every believer needs to answer for themselves. They need to know what their name is. They need how old they are. How mature are you? Because your maturity will designate what your destiny is going to be when you grow up. When you grow up. So now the first question remains the same, but the other two are related to each other and changes with time. You know, how old are you? And of course, what you want to be when you grow up. We are constantly trying to become something else that's better than what we are. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. This is something that's good. It shows progress. It shows growth. That we're constantly trying to better ourselves. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, "Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Now, here's the Apostle Paul. He's writing the epistle of the church of Philippi. And he makes a startling admission. He says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." He's saying, I have not yet reached the full potential I want to reach. Now this man is writing the Bible, but he's saying, I'm not perfect, I've not yet discovered the full purpose that God has for me. I've not yet seen everything, I've not yet reached that goal. He goes on to say, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press for the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He's saying, I've not yet reached the mark, I'm still in a process of transformation. I'm still in the process of bettering myself. Now, as I said before, the answer to the third question constantly changes because of the second question. You could ask that same child. Let's say, okay, Bozo goes up to the child, and the child's 5 years old. Well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Child says, well, you know, I want to be a fireman. If it's girly, I want to be a ballerina, or, you know, whatever. You know, you ask the child at 10 years old, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be an astronaut. You ask the child when they're 15, 16 years old and start to think about college. Well, I want to be maybe an electrical engineer, or maybe, you know, I want to be a designer, an architect, or I want to be a business owner, or someone that gets involved in business, or an accountant. And you notice their desired outcome changes with their degree of maturity. Now, the fifth thing is, why does that third question change? There are three reasons. One, they realize that the challenges that are involved and no longer see the worth or value of the previous dream. They say, well, you know, in order for me to be a ballerina, I gotta dance like crazy, like for hours and hours, and, you know, mess up my ankles and tiptoeing around and stuff. And, you know, I don't feel like doing that all day. You know, I'm not that athletic after all. Or, you know, I want to be a fireman, but you know what, I really don't want to die. And I really don't want to be sick. If I'm going to die, I definitely want to die, you know, being on fire. You know, I'm not really that heroic anyway. You know, this isn't worth it after all. So they start to realize there's challenges involved with every dream, what you want to be when you grow up. So they say, you know what, I'm not trying to do all that. Number two, they no longer enjoy it anymore. Again, after you start, you know, you want to be a ballerina, and you start going to ballerina class and realize you really can't dance, and you're pigeon-toed, and you're bow-legged, and you're moving all over the place, and you realize that you're not that good, and then the teacher's getting angry at you, and so then it's not fun anymore, so then I don't want to do it anymore. Thirdly, which I think is probably the most common, is that they've been exposed to other more attractive possibilities. You know, the guy starts off, I want to be a fireman, then he goes to space camp, now I want to be an astronaut. He sees, oh, this is much funner, this could be easier, or this could have far more opportunities that are there. And then as you grow, as you become older, and again, what do you want to be when you grow up? As you become older and you see other opportunities and you see other possibilities that better suit who you are, and what skills that you have, your major, so to speak, or your destiny starts to change. Now I want to go back to John chapter 5. I just wanted to sit all this up. I want to go back to John chapter 5 and the story about the lame man. Now, as you know, the story that this man was crippled and he could not walk, and he lay by a certain pool of water, that when the water was troubled by an angel, that the first one in the pool was instantaneously healed. And this is where we find this particular individual. John chapter 5, verse 5 says, and a certain man was there which had infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now that is a very loaded question. Wilt thou be made whole? And what Jesus is really asking the man is the proverbial to be or not to be question. And the answer really is dependent on him. Now here's something that you may not realize. I'll give you some background. But the quote, to be or not to be, comes from a Shakespeare play called Hamlet. And Hamlet's father, who was a king, was murdered by his uncle. And the uncle then married Hamlet's mother and usurped the throne as king. And Hamlet now is having the knowledge of this event, is now posing this question. We find this in the play. I want to read you an excerpt from this particular scene. He says, to be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing end them, to die to sleep no more, and by a sleep to say we end the heartache and 1,000 natural shocks that flesh is heir to. Now what Hamlet is saying is that I can either be a victim of my circumstance or my misfortune, or a warrior against the circumstance. I can either allow this person who has usurped the throne, has murdered my father, and is now king and doing all this evil stuff, is going to get away with it. I can say, well, I'm a victim and just allow this to transpire. Or I can become a warrior, I can be an active participant in my own destiny and change what is happening. He says, to be or not to be, that is the question. Am I to be a victim or not to be a victim? Am I to be a champion or not a champion? Am I to be sick and diseased, or am I not to be sick or diseased? That is really the question that Jesus is asking him. He said, here, you've been laying here for 38 years. He said, I know your case. Are you to remain in your case? are you to be made whole? That's the question. He said, wilt thou be made whole? What are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to be? Are you going to remain in this circumstance the entire time? Or are you going to be something different from what this circumstance has told you to be? Jesus' question has many implications. How old are you, and what do you want to be when you grow up? Because the fact of the matter is that the reason why we're in some childish conditions is because we have not yet matured. The reason why we're not what we want to be when we grow up is because we have not grown up yet. We have not matured, and so because of that, we remain in a childish circumstance. This man had been plagued by this condition for 38 years. And you would think that, again, here's an opportunity for him to be healed of this condition. Okay, the first, all he has to do is be the first one into the pool and he'll be healed. And for 38 years, for whatever bizarre reason, he could not figure out how to be the first one in the pool. And he looks at Jesus and gives an excuse. John chapter 5, verse 7. The impotent man answers, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. He doesn't even address his concern. He said, look, do you want to be made whole or not? Do you think this can actually happen? Are you to be sick or are you to be well? Are you to be delivered or to be in bondage in this condition? And he goes up to him and says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now here's the thing. Thomas' message is to be or not to be. That is the question. To be this or not to be this. To be that or not to be that. The answer to the question to be or not to be is I am. To be or not to be is the answer to that is I am. I am this or I am not this. And the thing is, his to be or not to be met the I am, Jesus Christ. Amen. In John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I said to you, before Abraham was I am. The answer to your question to be in affliction or not to be is I am. Jesus said to us, he said to us that I am the bread of life. He said to us, I am the living water. He said to us that I am the life of the world. He said to us that I am the door of the sheep. He said that I am the resurrection and I am the life. I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. The answer to you to be or not to be is I am. Whatever you want to be today, you can find in the I am, because he is everything. For in him we live and we move and we breathe and have our being. He is the I am. He is the true mind. He is the peace that passes all understanding. He is the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. The answer to your question to be or not to be is I am. It's all in Jesus Christ. It's all in Jesus Christ. To be. Now the funny thing about to be is that to become something, the word to be just really means a state. I'm just in it. I'm not actively necessarily having to do something. I just am. I'm just in it. And that's why God answered Moses in the form of the burning bush. When Moses asked the question, he's like, okay, you're sending me to the Egyptians, you're sending me to free the children of Israel from bondage. Who am I to say sent me? And God just said, I am. I am. I'm everything that you need. I'm Jehovah. I'm the self-existing one. I am El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. I'm more than enough for your circumstance. I am is the answer to your to be or not to be. Now the question I submit to you today is the same question that Jesus Christ submitted unto the impotent man is, wilt thou be? Wilt thou be? I don't know what the thing is that you're trying to be when you grow up. And the thing is, you'll become that which you want to be when you grow in Jesus Christ. When your faith has grown on the evidence and the credence of Scripture, you will become that which God has called you to be. And then you can answer the question, well, how old am I? And like I said before, the reason why that we're not where we want to be is because we've not grown up yet. We've not even saved out of the Word. And because of that, we still have to be or not to be. That's the question. I don't know if I'm to be this or I'm to be that. I don't know what the will of God is in my life. I don't know what's going on. And God is just saying, I am. Just seek me. Because I am the answer to everything that you're seeking after. Yes. And himself, which is I am, and put it inside of the man who is the to be. Let me repeat that. Jesus Christ, who is the I am, took a piece of himself and gave it to the man's to be or not to be question. The man was asking whether or not I can be whole. And Jesus Christ, I am the healer. I'm everything. I took my healing, my I am healed, and gave it to you so that you can be healed. God took the sinner and the wretch who was depraved and trapped in his sin and said, and asked the question, will you be righteous? And he said, I am holy, so that's why you need to be holy even as I am holy. God took the peace of himself, which is the I am. He's the answer to all the questions that are in life. And imparted unto our to be or not to be. I don't know whether I'm going to be saved or whether I'm not going to be saved. God said, I am salvation. And he imparted it unto us. Now, I'm not sure. Recently on my birthday, I started posting a bunch of testimonies regarding some miracles that God had done in my life. And when I posted this on Facebook, I got a response from an old classmate that I used to go to school with, who was a zealous atheist. And he posted this video of an individual who went through four different circumstances. And the point that he was trying to make is that Christians are too conditioned to give credit to God for everything. And in the video, he had this guy who was a Christian, and he was walking through a neighborhood, and a drive-by started to occur where he was, and some guys were driving by in a car and were shooting at him, and nevertheless hit him. And so the guy began to thank God for all that was going on. And he said, well, see, God is good. God is a miraculous sign. That is so scenario too. So the same guy walked through the neighborhood. This time he does get shot. But he didn't have any serious injuries, just maybe hurt. He got wounded a little bit, but had nothing serious. And so then he goes home and he thanks God, oh God, thank God that I didn't die, or I didn't have any serious injuries. Shows the third scenario. Third scenario, it shows the man getting shot. This time he does get some very serious injuries. He has some brain damage and some spinal cord, and now he can't walk and he's mentally disabled. But then the guy, he says, oh, thank God I didn't die. I still have my life. Fourth scenario. God gets shot again, but this time, he does die. And the family says, well, we thank God anyway because he's going to be with heaven. And now the guys say, well, see now, how do you prove that God did anything? You guys just giving blindly credit to God for no reason. And the thing is, it's really just how the Christians been conditioned to put God in everything. And there's some truth to that, that we have been conditioned in a sense to give God, to make God the reason for everything that happens, which isn't always the case. But the thing is, though, we have got a faith that is so radical that does not matter what the devil tries to steal, that we can thank God for everything. I didn't have this in my notes, but turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 through 16 through 18. Now again, you're in a situation where you're trying to figure out to be or not to be. That's the question. And the guy says, well, see, you guys are praising God or giving God credit no matter what happens. Well, really, it's just chance that's happening. It's just chance that the bullets didn't hit him, or it's just chance that he has this. You'll give credit to God no matter what. And it says, because the Christian's been conditioned to look at things that way. You're right. The Christian has been conditioned to look that way. Here's what the Bible says. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. You may be in a situation where you don't know what's going to happen next, and you're asking God, God, what is your will in this situation? What is God's will? God's will is that in everything that you give thanks. Yes. For this is the will of God. Now you may be asking yourself, well, I got my car accident, but I still have this, and the atheist is saying, we're just blindly giving credit. Well, the Bible tells me in James chapter 1, it says that every good thing, and every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, whom there is no veilness nor shadow of turning. That everything that we have that is good came from God. And no, we're not thanking God that the enemy has come into our life and has stolen something. No, we're thanking God because that which remains is still called good. That's why we're thanking God. In the situation he got shot, well, I didn't get hit. We said, well, when they said, well, he did get shot. Well, he said, well, I concerning you. But the real question, like I want to get back to, and I'm going to close this, like I said, never have a very deep thought. But to be or not to be, that's the question. What are you going to be when you grow up? And I'm not trying to insult you, please understand that. Because I know I got some growing up to do. I know there's still some childish, immature things that I've gone out of my own. But the question is, what am I going to be when I grow up? Am I still going to be afflicted? Am I still going to be this or going to be that? Or can I connect myself with the answer, which is the I am? And that I can become what Jesus Christ has told me to become. That I can be healed because he is whole. I can be in peace because he's the Prince of Peace. I can be in joy because he's the author of everything that is joyful. He is the source of all things that are happy. I can discover it in him. To be or not to be, that's the question. Will you be this or will you not be that? And the way that you get there is through faith. That if you would have faith in God's word and have faith in what God has said, you can become anything that God has spoken over your life. And this is not the end of your story. You can either boo-hoo and cry and be a victim of circumstance, or you can make up your mind, I am not going to let the enemy win in this area of my life. The answer to my to be or not to be is Jesus Christ, the I am. And because he is the resurrection and he is the life and he is the light of the world, then I can overcome any circumstance or any situation. Amen. What are you going to be when you grow up? And the thing is, you can have a growth spurt right here, right now. Pastor Long from Benton Harbor, he told me a story that when he was in high school, when I forgot what grade it was, I think he was a sophomore. He ended his sophomore year. He was 5'6" and 135 pounds. When he came back his junior year, just 3 months had passed, he was about 5'10", 170 pounds. That's a big difference. He gained 4 inches and 40 pounds in 3 months. He had a growth spurt. I don't know what his mother was feeding him, but it worked. The thing is, though, you can have a growth spurt in the spirit if you would just take heed to the word that's being taught, and something can happen in you to grow, that you can, what you were, you don't have to leave you the same way that you came. You don't have to be this, but you can be that. That if you are, become all that you can in Jesus Christ. Young man is saying that be all that you can be in the army. And they're right when they're talking about their own army. I can be all I can be in Jesus Christ's army. I can be a victor. I can be overcome. I can be saved. I can be righteous in Christ Jesus. To be or not to be, that's the question. Again, you can leave this place the same way. But wilt thou be whole? Wilt thou be this? Wilt thou be healed? Will you be saved? Will you be delivered? Will you be completely in what God wants you to be? You can. You just have to meet with the I am. Jesus Christ is the I am. He said, I am everything that you need. All you need to do is give yourself over to him. I don't know if this has gone over your head or this has blessed anybody. But that's really what I'm trying to say today. That if you just connect yourself with I am, you can be that. And you can grow up. You can grow in Christ. You can have a growth spurt. Right here in this place today. Amen. And God can make you to be what you want to be when you grow up. Amen. God bless you.
If you've enjoyed this message and would like to hear more, please contact Pastor Mike at 414-755-2296. If you would prefer to contact us by email, our email address is pastor@rehobothnewlife.com. We would be glad to hear from you. May the Lord continue to bless you.